It's June 8th, and we're going to talk about the book of Proverbs this morning, and I designed the message such to help us understand Proverbs as we're reading through the Bible in a chronological fashion this year, and I encourage you to be a part of that. You're reading Proverbs 16, 17, and 18 this morning, or this afternoon or this evening, whenever you do it. I try to do it in the mornings. But understanding Proverbs is an important thing. And last week we talked about whose advice would we take. And we talked about there's two basic patterns of knowledge and wisdom. One of them is the world's and one of them is God's. So when you look at the front of the bulletin cover and you see my graphics arts people that put together something rather colorful, which one of these is a proverb? An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Is that in Proverbs? No. How about the early bird catches a worm? What proverb is that? No. A stitch in time saves nine? Is that a proverb? No. How about where there's will, there's a way? Where there's a will, there's a way. Is that a proverb? No. How many of you know those four? You've heard those four? You could actually say them, right? How many of you could say four proverbs? Oh, okay, made my point. Understanding Proverbs, flip it over and look on the back. When my editing staff looked at my bulletin, they said, "Wilmer, that's too much stuff." And then quoted me the Proverbs, "With many words, misspellings are inevitable."
Is that a proverb?
No. With many words, transgression is sure, sin is sure. It depends which translation, but that is a proverb. And then I expressed to my editorial team that I wanted all the data on there in case we sent these out to somebody, that there was everything there for them to see. So, can you think of a book in the Bible that would be a better example than Proverbs to gain advice or wisdom from? If you wanted to look for godly advice, can you think of a better book than Proverbs? It's really set up by the authors to give you godly advice. Now, how could this have an effect on me? I don't very often target messages gender selective, but this one is rather gender selective. I really believe that Solomon is a book written by a man to a man. And when it talks about son, it really is talking about a sonship relationship of a man to a man. I think this is one of the better books for us guys to read. Now, the book of Proverbs fits very well into a one-a-day plan. Now, why does that work? It's because there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and most months have either 30 or 31 days to them. And what you do, guys, in reading through Proverbs to impact your life so that you could do better on that score on the front cover, is you read a proverb a day. And you, whatever date it is, you just do that number. Now, I don't know how many of you have these little things. Have any of you ever have one of these? New Testament Psalms and Proverbs that the Gideons give away? But it's really easy to throw one of these into the glove box of the pickup, or to put, I used to carry it in my lunch pail, which really wasn't a pail, it was really a backpack, because I had to climb 100 and some feet up to the cranes. But when I worked, like we were talking about earlier, in the steel mill for years, I would take that, and during that day, I would read that date's Proverbs. And they're really written like guys think. A multitude of disjointed, complex, but meaningful thoughts. When you read through them, they obviously weren't written by women because they aren't on the same theme and there aren't any transitional. They're uniquely different. It's just bang, 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 bang. But oftentimes that's the way us guys think. Short, succinct phrases that have a lot of meaning to them, but they don't seem to fit together. How many of you ladies have noticed that us guys do that? My wife will often say, "How does that fit with anything?" I don't know. It just seemed like a good idea. Right? And the girls are all laughing because they know we do that. You know, we don't think it all out and tie it all together. It's actually one of the biggest things in developing a message is trying to figure out how to transition through it so it's not short, abrupt, choppy thoughts like I normally think. But that's the way Proverbs is written for us, guys. And I want to challenge you men to take a good look at the idea of reading Proverbs and studying. No, to understand the book of Proverbs, the authors are Solomon. He wrote it early in his reign. I guess he was wise enough to figure that if he's going to be married to 1,000 women, he's going to have a lot of kids, and he's not going to be able to develop a personal relationship with all of them. So he writes all these Proverbs down, and then he makes his kids read them because he had rather a large family to deal with. And he also has some co-authors that helped him towards the end of that. Now, the purpose of Proverbs is this: to teach people wisdom, discipline, and a prudent life. To show them what's right, just, and fair, to sum it all up. In short, to apply divine wisdom to your daily life. That's the point of Proverbs. Now, gentlemen, do you think that would be a good idea? To apply divine wisdom to your daily life. So that your life wasn't just a total reflection of the world and its knowledge, but it would be actually transformed. Now, here's the key verse. So grab your Bibles and look with me at Proverbs chapter 1. And I'm just going to read the first 7 verses to you. And Proverbs 1:7 is the key verse of the whole book of Proverbs. Now, when I was doing this on a regular basis, I've kind of gotten out of the one-a-day plan. But the Lord and I have been talking. It would probably be a good thing for me to get back into. I would just pick one of these short, succinct phrases and focus on that for the day. When I used to run the crane cab, there was a white styrofoam cup. And I drank vast quantities of coffee, way more than what I did now. And I would just take the proverb that I liked and write it on my coffee cup. And every time I picked a cup of coffee up, I'd just look at it. Sometimes I'd put them on a scrap of paper or a 3x5 card, and I'd stick it in the dashboard or lay it on the seat. Or, you know, oftentimes it'd be laying next to my thermos and my tool apron. But I'd just pick one of these short, succinct phrases and read it through and think it through for the day. Kind of meditate on it, so to speak. So that was stalling for you all to find Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words and understanding, to receive the instruction and wisdom, justice, judgment, and equality, to give prudence to the simple, the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Let's do verse 5 again. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Verse 6. To understand Proverbs and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. And here's the key verse of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So when you look at that key verse, fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline, it brings up a comparison of knowledge versus wisdom. Knowledge is good, but a vast difference stands between knowledge, having the facts of life, and wisdom. We must amass knowledge, but without wisdom, your knowledge is useless. We must learn how to live out what we know. This is the crux of the Christian life. To stay in a consistent pattern as you learn something new, you apply it in obedience to your life. As long as your knowledge of what God's saying and your obedience to that stay equal, your relationship with Him is amazing. But what happens in our culture is we learn more stuff than what we obey and apply. And eventually, we get this discrepancy between what we know and what we're applying or obeying in our life. And then you meet Christians who know a whole bunch of stuff, but they're not applying the wisdom of Proverbs to it, so they're jerks to be around because they're so heady. So our lives need to be ones that as you learn things with God, you apply them and you stay in that. We live in a culture of information and knowledge. Julie Googled one of our old friends the other day and discovered there was hundreds of places on the web to go read about what Frank Seekins is doing these days. You can, the knowledge that's out there available to us is massive, right? And access to it is faster than any time ever before in culture. And if you take our present day and you go all the way back to the beginning of mankind in the Garden of Eden, their choice was either a relationship with God or knowledge of what's good and evil. And they chose knowledge of good and evil. Thus, sin transpired in all of our lives. And the challenge still to you and me today is not to acquire more knowledge without wisdom and relationship with the Lord. Does that make sense to you? So just learning stuff to learn stuff in the Christian realm isn't profitable. We need to balance them. So here's a blueprint of Proverbs. The first 9 chapters are written to young people so they could have wisdom. The next 14 chapters are written to all of us so we could have wisdom. And the last is wisdom for leaders. And 31 is really for the women leaders. We won't go there right now. We'll do a woman-sensitive message another day. But though it breaks down really nicely as you're trying to understand it. So if you're looking for wisdom in any one of those 3 areas, you could just read a few Proverbs in that section. So, most often Proverbs are written in the form of couplets, and they're constructed in 3 different ways. There's contrasting, and in those they will use but to connect the two of them. There's also comparing, where they would use like as or so, better or than, to connect the two of them. And the last one is complementing, where they use and. So here's each one of those so you could understand. Contrasting will use but. And the meaning and the application come from the difference or the contrast between the two of them. So this half will say this, but the second half will do that. Here's an illustration. Proverbs 3:35. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 33 through 35. There, got it out. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. The next one. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools he holds up in shame. So as you read through Proverbs, they're all like this. None of those really connect together in the way I read them, but each one of them is a standalone, and that is one of the 3 forms that they would write them in. And so then you could understand the format that he's writing now. The middle one is by far my favorite. You know, he mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. You know, we were talking about going to see the Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian. The keeper line for me is at the end of the movie, Aslan is talking to these 4 kings, well, 3 kings and 2 queens, and he asks them to rise, and Prince Caspian doesn't rise. And he stays down and he says, I just don't think I'm ready to be king. And Aslan says, that's precisely why you are ready to be king, because of that attitude. If you think you can do it, you probably haven't understood the proverb that says, don't lean on your own understanding, in all your ways trust the Lord. So the humility of leadership is cool in that illustration. I tried to get that clip, but I haven't figured out how to do movie clips yet, one of these days. The second one is comparing, and that uses either as or so, or better or than. And the meaning then in application comes from the similarities or the comparison of the 2 statements. And here's an illustration of that. Honor the Lord with your wealth and your first fruits, your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will be filled over with new wine. So when we're involved in that first part, then God, and you see how that those tie together? Or it could be so that they use. I just happened to choose one that had then, but it could be one of those 4 words that connect those together. Now, here's another way that they write them. And this is the complementing, and it uses and. The meaning and application come from the way the second statement complements the first. So that's the third type, and Proverbs 5:6 looks like that. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So that's one that you could write on your coffee cup or on a post-it and stick it on your steering wheel or your dashboard or your rearview mirror. And ponder on that, that if I would trust the Lord with all my heart, and I wouldn't lean on my own abilities, giftings, or understanding, but in all my ways I would acknowledge His presence and welcome Him and compliment Him and give glory to Him. If I would do those things, two positive, one negative, then He would make my path straight. Which, when you think about it, if you acknowledge the Lord in all of your deals, and you were consciously aware that He was there, do you think then you would be more of a tendency to stay on the straight and narrow? If you knew wherever you went, He was already there, and whatever you thought or whatever you said, He already knows what you're going to say before you say it. And He's going to listen to everything you say, think, and do in those places. See, the general tendency when I think that way is to stay more on the straight and narrow. Would it work that way for you? See, just one of these little proverbs could change a lot of our life. Well, let's try to bring this into some practical steps. Here's step number one, a practical step that you could put into your life. Begin with God's wisdom, respecting and appreciating who God is in reverence and awe. That's the beginning of this wisdom and understanding. I've always liked to understand how things work. People that have known me for years, I used to take things apart just to see how they worked and then see if I could put them back together, which they always came apart. There was not a great success rate in always putting them back together. But when I became a Christian 27 years ago, I decided I would like to understand how God's ways work. And they do work. And I was amazed at that time that people said there is one way, there is one truth, there is one life. There's not 370 different theories of psychology. There is one Bible and there is one Word of God that will transform your life. And I said, one? That's simple enough. I might be able to understand that. And set out to try to understand it. I'm still in that process and I'd like you to begin that too. But respecting and appreciating the awe of who God is, the wonder of who He is the beginning of that. Second one, to apply moral application, trusting in God and His Word, allowing His Word to speak to us personally, and being willing to obey. That's the second step. First step is you'd actually read with respect what God writes to you in Proverbs. And you would awe that He would explain all of this to you. But the second part of it is you really need to apply it. You need to do something with that in your life, trusting it. Allowing it, being willing to obey it. Like I was talking to you a while ago. When you learn something new, obey it to the best of your ability. And when you're not, come back to it. So, third one, practical application. Acting on God's direction daily. So don't just read it and think about it, being willing to obey it, but actually do it. Apply it to your life. Allow it to change your way of thinking. And the last one, step number four, is effective living. The results of that is effective living. Experiencing what God does with our obedience. So those four are simple, practical steps that you could take in conclusion of this message from the book of Proverbs. You are awed. You respect God for who He is and what He's doing. You actually read the Word. You trust that it's the right thing. And you apply it to your life in faith. And then you begin to live that out and put it into a practical step of application on a daily basis. And it's no different than any other pattern in your life. You have to do it for 6 to 8 weeks before it begins to really be a habit pattern. But you could do that in a very short period of time if you wanted to. And I'm encouraging you men to begin reading Proverbs with me, just one a day. And what I would do is this. I'd start reading at today's, what, 8th? I'd start reading chapter 8, and when I found one of those that stuck out to me, or that it seemed to be what God's Spirit from deep inside my heart was inspiring me to be involved in. That's as far as I went. I didn't have to read them all. I was just looking for one. So just look for one a day that would make an impact or effect on your life and begin to try to apply that one. For a period of time, I'd write them on 3x5 cards and I'd have a stack of them, and then I'd refresh through those to see if I was still doing that, which is a really good thing to do. Or if you're more organized than I am and you don't have scraps of paper that you live by, you know, you could write them all on a page or in a journal or, you know, on a note in the front of your Bible. Or your page marker in Proverbs would be a really cool thing to do. To just write that out. But I do encourage you, the one that does impact your life, to actually write it out. And then effectively in your life, what will happen is it will change you. As you obey, God changes your life. So here's the last three questions. Will I become a wise person? It's really your call. Wisdom is there for you. All you have to do is read it and apply it. Will I seek understanding? Will I, as an individual guy, look for God's understanding and wisdom in these things? And the last one is, will I develop the life of sonship? Those of us who have been anointed and blessed by God's grace and have been saved have the privilege of experiencing the sonship lifestyle of Jesus Christ within us. If there's anybody here who doesn't have that relationship yet, I encourage you to talk to me. If you're one of the ladies and you're questioning about that, talk to Julie about that and get that settled in your life. But if you're like me and you have been born again, then let's move on in our life by applying godly wisdom.